Isaiah 57, let's read verses 14 and 15. It reads in verse 14, "And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up. Prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the Lord, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would lead us all to higher ground in 2022. We pray that you would revive us again, that we as your people might rejoice in thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. If we are going to fully appreciate and understand the basis of our yearly theme of revival, it is important that we go back into Isaiah chapter 56, please, and note there verses 9 to 12. "All ye beasts of the field, come and devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forests. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look for their own way, everyone is for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." Here within this portion of scripture here that we've just read, God calls for the beasts of the fields in reference to the Gentile nations. God calls for the beasts of the Gentiles to devour God's people because of their sins. God said of his people that they are blind in verse number 10, insensitive, ignorant, greedy, lazy, drunkards, covetous. And also God addresses the leadership. The leadership was more interested in their own gain than the people's welfare. Consumed with their own pleasure, they failed to consider that judgment was coming and why it was coming. God's people were in need of revival. And as we read on into chapter 57, it's within this chapter God spells out even more specifically why he will send the beasts of the Gentiles, the beasts of the fields, as he calls them, to destroy God's people. And beyond that, the chapter concludes with instruction. He instructs them on how they can, if they choose to, be revived spiritually. What is God's pathway to personal revival? God of eternity, revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of the contrite ones. Please note with me here in chapter 57, verses 13 and 14,
where God invites his people back unto himself. Note then verses 13, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away, vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of thy people. So verses 13 and 14, God invites his people back unto himself. And God calls his people to change their ways, to take a new pathway. And God, from verse 14 onwards, reveals that new pathway. The way to revival is God's way. The pathway to revival for you and I in 2022 is to simply yield and submit to God's way. This new pathway begins with a focus upon our God. Note then verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one. If you and I are to place ourselves on this pathway to personal revival in 2022, then we need to focus upon our God. We need to have a correct focus upon the grandeur, the goodness, the greatness, the majesty of God. Isaiah spells out the high and lofty one, a focusing upon God once again. Revival is something that we cannot drum up. It's something that comes down, and it comes down from God. And the basis of revival is you and I refocusing and having a correct view of God. God is majestic. He is that high and lofty one. God is authority. All authority stems back to God. Every point of delegated authority on planet Earth has its roots in God. God is that high and lofty one. He is the ultimate authority. And we need to see God as the ultimate authority in our lives if we are to be revived spiritually. He's not only the ultimate authority, the high and lofty one, the majestic one. He's one that inhabiteth eternity. He's the God of eternity. God has no beginning. God has no end. He is outside of time. He is always present. Nothing surprises God. There is nothing temporal or finite about God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. God is infinite, and he is the only one that qualifies to offer you and I eternal life, because he is eternal. He alone is eternal, the eternal one. And the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy chapter 33, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. My friend, the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God of eternity offers eternal life. There is an eternity. You will live somewhere forever. Where will you spend eternity? Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? And for those of us that are Christians here this morning, what are we doing in light of eternity? Are we laying up treasure in heaven where rust nor moth doth corrupt? Or are we trying to lay up our treasure, build our treasure chest here on earth where it will perish and we will leave it behind? Beloved, we are in need of revival. And if you and I are to be revived, we need to have a correct view of God. We need to understand that God is the ultimate authority in my life. God is eternal. He holds the keys to the kingdom, and He offers eternal life. And by faith in Jesus Christ, I can experience life eternal. The verse goes on to read, whose name is holy. It doesn't say who is holy. God is holy. Whose name is holy. God is so holy that here in the scriptures it reads, His name is holy. That's an amazing thought. Just gives you a little bit of insight into the holiness of God. God is totally and completely set apart from sin. He is the triune holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Whose name is holy. God is majestic. God is eternal. God is holy. And then also note then verse 15, it goes on to read, beyond whose name is holy, I dwell, note this, in the high and holy place. I dwell in the high and holy place. The beginning of the verse reads, the high and lofty one. God is. God is majestic. God is our authority. God is eternal. God is holy. And I think we need to stop bringing God down to our level, and we need to lift up our eyes and see God for all that He is. Your opinion of God affects your life, the way you live. And my friend, you are living in accordance to your view of God right now. Your obedience or lack of obedience to God's word is in relation to how you view God. It was A.W. Tozer that made reference to the fact that a low opinion of God leads to a greater number of evils. He said every evil that prevails today is an extension of a distorted view of God. And beloved, if you and I are to be revived in 2022, we need to lift up our eyes and see God for all that He is. That God is the ultimate authority. God is eternal. God is holy. And God dwells in that high and holy place. Holy place. Whose name is holy dwells in that holy place. God wants our fellowship. We've been created to commune with God. God wants to commune with His people, but on His terms, not our terms. We need to come up to God's standards. What are God's standards? What are God's requirements for communion with the God of eternity, with the God of holiness, with the God of ultimate authority? What does God require? What are God's standards? What are God's requirements? What is the pathway to revival? Well, it rests and can be cultivated by a correct view of God. How do you see God this morning? How do you see God? How do you view God in your life? You might say, oh, Pastor, I'm not sure. Let me tell you how you can tell. How do you live your life? What was the first thing you did this morning? What are you thinking? Where are you at as far as obedience to God's will? Are you seeking to obey God, or are you deliberately disobeying God? That's how you see God. If you and I are to be revived, you and I need to have a correct view of God. And with a correct view of God, we can move into the practical means to personal revival. Because if we see God for all that He is, that God is my authority, He is that high and lofty one, God is eternal, God is holy, whose name is holy, and God dwells in that high and holy place, this should affect us. And this is the essence of verse 15. So with a correct view of God, we move into the practical means, the personal revival. The pathway to revival is twofold, as our theme spells out. It's not complicated. Note verse 15 once again. From I dwell in the high and holy place. I dwell in the high and holy place. How do we come up to God's standards? We can't bring God down to our standards. People do it. And that's the Christianity of today, is it not? I don't encourage it, but if you were to walk into Coorong, you'll see it. Christianity brought down to man's standard that sells books. That's the Christianity today, bringing God down to our standards. But God wants us to come up to His standards, because He dwells in that high and lofty place. My friend, may I submit to you, the way up is down. And that's our problem. That's our problem. That's why we are in need of revival. And this is God's pathway to revival. Note then verse 15. Once again, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him. Now that's worth underlining, if not highlighting. If not underlining and highlighting. I dwell in that high and holy place with Him also that is of a what? Contrite and humble spirit. And one that has a contrite and humble spirit, God will revive. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So the pathway to revival, here in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, is first and foremost humility. With a correct view of God, we move into the practical means of personal revival. There is humility. What does it mean to be humble? Well, this is the opposite of pride. God can't revive an individual when pride, self-will, is present. Does that make sense? Now note the importance of humility here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 for a moment, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Note then verse 14, it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So the first step to revival, humility. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Note the importance of humility. Humility is not something we do, it is a mindset. It is a spirit. Note there in verse 15 once again of Isaiah 57. A contrite and humble spirit. Humility is not something we do. You cannot do humility. It's a mindset. But it will manifest itself in action. The word humility means to be lowly. To have a lowly mindset. To have a base mindset. Literally means to sink. That's humility. The world's telling you to put yourself forward. God's telling us, humble yourself. And if we humble ourselves before the Almighty God, if we are truly humble before the Almighty God, we will admit our true condition before God. In view of all that God is, that God is majestic. He is that high and lofty one. God is eternal. God is holy. He is the one that dwells in that high and holy place. We will have a correct view of ourselves when we have a correct view of God. Well illustrated there in Luke chapter 18, please. Please, Luke chapter 18. I want to hear your Bibles. Okay, very good. That's better. Luke 18. I know you trust me, but I'd like for you to see it in the Bible. Okay? Luke chapter 18, note there in verses 10 to 14. Let's read together after 2. 1 and 2. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's humility. And God said that he will exalt the humble, he will abase the proud. And because this publican had a correct view of himself in light of the greatness of God, he cried out for mercy, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, this man walked out of that temple justified because he was willing to humble himself. God's people need humility. And as God addressed his people here in the book of Isaiah chapter 57, he was addressing the lack of humility that prevailed amongst God's people. And beloved, if you and I are to be revived in 2022, you and I need to see ourselves from God's perspective in light of all that God is And that can only humble us. And God promises to revive the humble. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 57, we note that God addresses the pride of his people there in verses 1 and 2. Of chapter 57, the righteous perisheth and no man layeth to heart. And merciful men are taken away and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. We see the pride of God's people here in verses 1 and 2. The callousness, the heartlessness towards God's people. These verses are in reference to the righteous that have died. And God said of the righteous here in verses 1 and 2, they're better off. You're better off. These are better off, the righteous that have died are better off because they have found peace and rest in death, unfortunately not in life. What an amazing statement. And they were not regarded or esteemed or respected for living a righteous life. And God said, you're better off. You're better off being righteous and dying righteous than to live an unrighteous life. So we see callousness and we see heartlessness from those that were living in unrighteousness. Pride, pride. And also note then verses 3 and 4. We see the pride of self-will, deliberate disobedience in verses 3 and 4. But draw near hither, ye sons of sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? God's people were involved in all sorts of pagan practices, from sorcery to fertility god worship, which involved immorality, extreme immorality. And as we read on, we see that God's people on the whole were mocking those that endeavored to live right. So we see a lack of humility amongst God's people, callousness and heartlessness towards brothers and sisters, a mocking of those that are trying to live right, deliberate disobedience. And God said that I'm going to revive the spirit of the humble. And beloved, if you and I want to be revived in 2022, we need to humble ourselves before Almighty God. We need to elevate God in our mindset. God who is majestic. God who is eternal. God who is holy. God who is the high and exalted one that dwells in a holy place. We need to rise up to God's standards as opposed to bringing God to our standards. We need to humble ourselves. Without humility, there's no revival. If you and I continue in our prideful self-sufficiency. Oh, I'm right, Pastor. I'm right. I haven't gone backwards in the last 2 years. Not me. That could be the very thing that's keeping you and I from personal revival. As God said, He will revive the spirit of the humble. And also it reads here in verse 15 of chapter 57 of Isaiah that God will revive heart of the contrite ones, the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What does it mean to have a part 51? Pardon me, Psalm 51. We could go to Isaiah 51, but that's also good. But for now, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Note then verse 17. The Bible reads, "The sacrifices of God, that which God will accept, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." So King David, as he was confessing his sin, understood that God would accept a contrite heart. God highly esteems a contrite heart. And according to Isaiah 57 verse 15, it is essential to revival, not only humility of mind, but a contrite heart. God doesn't belittle, but he highly esteems a contrite heart. Once again, to have a contrite heart, for God to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Once again, this is a mindset. It's not something that you do. It's what you are, you think. It's a mindset. But it will manifest itself. The word contrite here